That, notice that, and know that whether we are in the deepest of despair or on the mountaintop rejoicing, be with us, O God, as we walk this path, learning and stretching and growing. Help us, O God. In the mystery of what lies before us, and the experience that has lived in us, and in this moment, meet us here. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. How many of you in this room are what we call really visual people? Somebody can describe something to you and you can see it just as clear as day. Anybody here? When I was a child, I remember spending quite a bit of time when I would hear this scripture about the speck and the log. And I would try to feel, I could see how getting a speck, you know, noticing, you ever noticed an eyelash in somebody's eye, or I could get that, but I could not get how I could have a log in my eye. Because I wasn't just visual, I was pretty literal. A log. What the heck does that have anything to do with anything? And how do people walk around with, I mean, I get log rolling, but logs in your eye? I didn't get that. It was much later when I understood that this scripture was talking about how we notice characteristics about other people and don't realize our own. And part of that's a bit of a challenge because we don't see ourselves in action as others see us, right? So it's not like we can fully assess and engage with all of what might be annoying or unattractive. Now, I know there isn't anybody here who has behaviors annoying or unattractive, but you might have some friends who do. So this might be able to help you out as you move through those relationships. I learned this scripture as a scripture that says, don't judge others. But as I've read this scripture on a deeper level, I think that there's an invitation in this that has less to do about others and more to do about how we move through our own spiritual discipleship. I think the invitation here is not so much about judging others, but about being introspective in our own lives, about doing self-evaluation, about being self-aware. Have you ever been in a room at a meeting and somebody has a pen they're clicking? Now, if you're at one of my meetings, you might receive a gift. of a pen that doesn't click. That's a nice way. I really want to just snatch the pen out of the hand. No, not really, of course. I would never do that. Those are things, the person who's clicking that pen is completely clueless. Don't even know they're clicking the pen, right? Any clickers in the room? Yeah. Don't even notice. It's just a part of who they are. Now, if everyone was clicking the pen, they could find some rhythmic way of expressing themselves, probably could rap to it. We could probably, like, put a new YouTube hit with 12 million hits. Who knows? If we get really talented with this clicking. But most of us who are clickers don't notice we're clicking until it's gently pointed out before the level of annoyance that drives the way in which we deliver that information. Can I get a witness? Some of you parents might have some of these experiences, or some of you children may have some memories of similar experiences growing up. There are things about us we don't notice, can't notice, don't see. The invitation of doing introspection around our spiritual journey may invite us, if we're so brave, to ask other people to help us notice. I remember several years ago, we had a congregant here who stepped into a 12-step program and was working that 12-step program. Now, for those of you who do 12-step, you might have to correct me here. I want to say it was maybe step 3, where he came to me and asked me, he first came to me and said, I would like to make amends to our relationship. And then he said, and is there anything you see that could help me? Wow. Step what? 4. 12. It becomes part of the healing, the growing, the recovery, the living into all we are called to be and do. I'm thinking that if Jesus would have known about the 12 steps, he probably would have included step number 4 in here. Maybe all of them. The invitation for us is not to judge. If we created a culture where we were all doing introspection and welcomed people to give us information, can you imagine? What would shift for us? Everything? Maybe so. Maybe so. It reminds me of the psalmist who invites God by saying, create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me, open and receptive that I may embrace the many ways you choose to visit my life. I'm thinking that if we're really developing introspection about our own journey, we'll be so busy opening ourselves and experiencing God that we'll see some ways God's visited our life we might have missed because our attention was on someone else or something else. Create in me a clean heart, cleared of the refuge of old battles and others and deadly options within myself. Create in me a clean heart, purified through the daily disruption and the life encounters that take me beyond grasping control and ego-centeredness. Oh, can't we point that out in others? How hard it is to see that in ourselves. This is not just a sermon for you, my friends. This is a spiritual challenge we all encounter, myself included. How many of us are sitting there thinking, so-and-so ought to be here to hear this sermon today? Joyce Rupp goes on to say, create in me a clean heart freed from the clutter of cultural enticements so I can enjoy the beauty of life's simple things and relish the gifts I easily take for granted. Create in me a clean heart, O God, bathed from the harsh thoughts, shame, and perfectionistic tendencies, warmly welcoming others with the embrace of non-judgment. You know, we live in a system of judgment. All you have to do is watch a commercial on TV that tells you how bad smells are and what good smells you ought to buy for your breath and your body odor and your hair and your laundry detergent and probably your nail polish. I don't know. But a lot of information comes to us about what we need in order to be acceptable to each other. Can I get a witness? I mean, do you not experience that? How many of you consider yourselves fashionably dressed today? How many of you are terrified to raise your hand right now because you don't know where I'm going with this? Well, the fashion police will let you know. But I would venture to say all of us gauge our acceptable dress based on information around us by some part of our community. It might not be a commercial on the television. It might be what happens in the bar, what happens in the mall, or what happens in your workplace, or all the tapes in the back of your head from your growing up years. I mean, what would happen if we wore high suspenders and really short pants and black penny loafers and white socks and a skinny tie and a bouffant hairdo at the same time? We might not be invited to brunch on that particular day. Create in me a clean heart, rinsed of the residue of false messages about my identity, enabling my inner goodness and light to shine through all I am and all I do. When we are not caught up in all those systems we participate in, it doesn't matter if we've passed the dress police or the hairstyle police. Are you getting my drift here? We are all influenced by systems greater than ourselves, but it is what we do with them. Create in me a clean heart, O God, cleansed of anxiety and lack of trust, restoring me in an enduring faith in your abiding presence and unconditional love. Do you know how hard it is for us to trust love? Each other's love, God's love. And sometimes we step out into that trust with this internal guard, just waiting to say, see, I told you it wasn't real. See, I told you God doesn't love me. Look what God did. How many times do we get ourselves caught up in that system when something doesn't go the way we think it ought to go, who's the first one we blame? Whoever did it to us. And if it's God, we're right there pointing the finger. Somehow we've been conditioned to blame God, someone else, or ourselves for some system that does not flush itself out to feel loving, to feel nurturing, to feel like we believe God should feel. Create in me a clean heart scrubbed of racism and prejudice, drawing me towards all of my sisters and brother in community. Create in me a clean heart washed with your mercy and strengthened by your love, helping me move beyond whatever keeps me from being in union with you, O God. When the scripture at the end of this text talks about someone who built their house on sand, what does that look like for us? What have you built your house on? What is going to get washed out from underneath you? What is built on solid ground? How do we walk this journey and not be swept off guard by the systems that impact us? What does it mean for us not to just not judge each other, but how harshly do we judge ourselves? What systems of assessment do we use? And how is God present in that system? How do we hear in a new way the loving embrace of God's love and God's presence? Part of our spiritual journey is to recognize there are things we must do between Sunday and Sunday. I want to invite you to join with me in a call and response. An opportunity to be introspective about your journey, what has been, what is, and what is yet to be. And I want to invite you to say this phrase at the end of each phrase I say. The gift I have received, I will give as a gift. Say it with me. The gift I have received, I will give as a gift. The gift I have received, I will give as a gift. You have received mercy, kindness, and unconditional love from God. The gift I have received, I will give as a gift. You have many physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual abilities that can be used to better the lives of others. The gift I have received, I will give as a gift. You have people in your life who have believed in you when you did not believe in yourself. People who have stood by you in difficult times. The gift I have received, I will give as a gift. You have a heart capable of great compassion, empathy, and tenderness. The gift I have received, I will give as a gift. You have inner strength, the grace of conversion, the gift of hope, the desire for good. You have food on your table, clothes in your closet, and a roof over your head. The gift I have received, I will give as a gift. You have religious freedom, the power of free speech, advocacy groups, and structures for promoting justice and protecting each other. The gift I have received, I will give as a gift. You have the opportunity for spiritual renewal, growth, and maturity in your relationship with the divine, continual access to opportunities for faith development. The gift I have received is the I will give as a gift. We don't think about these things as gifts when we think about gift giving. Or maybe even when we think about specks and logs. Go into your own soul. Do the introspection about your own life. Notice the gifts you have received. And let other people's stuff be about them. Don't let that attention rob you from your own spiritual development and the gifts you will give. Will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks and praise for this day, for the gifts that each of us have received, and for all that we have to give. God, let us not have the clutter of stuff that could separate us from each other in you. Have that power. Help us, oh God, to find those places of beauty and admiration about each other. May what we have received from you, from the world of abundance, be the gift we give to ourselves first and flow from that to the world we touch. In Christ's name, amen.
Just not sure enough. Jesus. Loving you.